fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday. Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is African Athletics. A world champion middle distance runner from Kenya is aiming for his first Olympic gold medal in Tokyo next year, as we hear now from VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last month, Kenyan runner Timothy Cheruiyot dominated the men's 1500-meter race at the World Championships in Doha and clinched his first world title. And now the 24-year-old champion says his eyes are set on Tokyo.
To get into the team, that's my prayer. Olympics for me is starting now because I'm resumed training. I need to work hard. And then I know I will achieve what I want.
But Cheruiyot says one man stands between him and Olympic gold, best friend and compatriot Elijah Menengoy, who Cheruiyot calls his toughest competitor.
I love how he's trained. He has a speed, me having endurance. So we motivate each other. Yeah. And sometimes when Elijah win, I'm happy. When I win, it's okay.
Well, Cheruiyot was no doubt feeling okay when he won the world championship. 2 years ago, he finished that same event in second place, and the title went to his track and field rival, Elijah Menengoy. However, Menengoy was unable to defend his world title this year because of an injury. The dueling athletes are considered two of the world's best milers, and they continue to trade places as number one and two in the world in track and field. Both athletes perform under the watchful eye of their coach, Bernard Uma, who says their opposing talents provide just the right tension to give the runners the drive to outperform each other.
This is sibling rivalry, which is very positive here. So I can only contrast them. I can't compare the two because these are two different personalities. But their pairing is really good for the two and good for the club as well. And it's good for my work as a coach because they're really pairing very well in terms of the way they're interacting, the way they're competing amongst themselves. And it's easier when you're gauging each other in training than waiting for, let me gauge you, or let me gauge you as an individual in competition.
Coach Uma says Cheruiyot is putting in extra work to keep Menengoy on his toes, and Uma believes he has the talent to do it. He recognized Cheruiyot's potential when the runner was a competitor in high school. Uma was so impressed with the then 18-year-old, he says he could already see Cheruiyot as a future champion.
The year comes looking a very strong guy from the village with a very rugged running style and polished and coordinated, but finishing third and missing the slot for the world junior team, finishing and so dejected, with a lot of agony all over his face, having really pushed so hard to run 1 minute 45 second, 0.91 without proper training, without proper techniques. So this is where the interest came, that if he can run like this and there's nothing, no one has polished him, why not?
And with some polishing from his coach, Cheruiyot not only claimed the world championship title this year, he also won the Diamond League trophy for a third consecutive time. And he credits all of his achievements to his coach, Bernard Uma.
I was sure one day I will be a professional athlete. So because my coach Ben was always motivate me, he told me you will make it, and he gave me the right direction of training because the training here is good. Everything is put in place.
And we will keep our eye on Olympic hopeful Timothy Cheruiyot as he works to put his dream in place to represent Kenya in the upcoming Tokyo Games. And that is all from me for the week. Back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Four-time Olympic gold medalist Mo Farah has announced he will return to the 10,000 meters on the track next year in a bid to win a fifth Olympic title in Tokyo. The British star hung up his track spikes after the 2017 World Athletics Championships in London, where he won his sixth world title in the 10,000 meters, as well as a silver medal in the 5,000 meters. Farah shifted his focus to the roads in 2018 when he placed third at the London Marathon and won the Chicago Marathon. This year, Mo Farah finished fifth in the London Marathon, and last month, Mo placed eighth in the Chicago Marathon. The Somalia-born Farah says it's been really exciting to compete in the marathon for the past couple of years, and he describes it as a great learning curve. Mo says he hopes he hasn't lost his speed on the track, but he'll train for it and see what he can do. Mo Farah will turn 37 years old in March next year. If he wins a medal or finishes in the top 10 in Tokyo, he will make history. No one age 37 or older has ever finished in the top 10 in a men's 10,000 meters final at the Olympic Games. Mama Wolde was 36 years and 4 months when he earned a silver in 1968, while fellow Ethiopian Miritz Yifter was 36 years and 2 months when he claimed gold in 1980. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African sports news. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with African club football. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. We begin with this weekend's fixtures in the 2019-2020 CAF Champions League group stage match day one action. Egyptian champions Al Ahly will start their group B campaign against Tunisian giant Etoile du Sahel. Etoile have a new coach in Juan Carlos Garrido, and they will host Al Hilal. DR Congolese giants AS Vita Club, who won this tournament in 1973, will be away to Algerian side JS Kabylie in a Group D match, while at the Al-Hilal Stadium, Sudanese giants Al-Hilal Omdurman are set to play host to Zimbabwean champions FC Platinum in another Group B encounter. Five matches are scheduled to be played on Saturday, and the action will be headlined by a match between the defending champions Esperance de Tunis and Raja Casablanca. Staying with football news, FIFA has banned leading African soccer official who faces trial for war crimes in The Hague. Patrice Edward Nagasuna was banned for 6 years and 8 months by FIFA ethics judges on Thursday for charges including discrimination and of failing to protect, respect or safeguard integrity and human dignity. He was fined $500,000. In basketball news, reigning African champions the Tigres of Nigeria will face world number one United States of America, Serbia and Mozambique in the battle for a spot at the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo. The Tigres opponents were unveiled at a brief ceremony midweek in Switzerland to officially kickstart the Olympics tournament qualification race. Femi Adefeso is a sports journalist and he looks at the prospect of African teams at a qualifying tournament.
Now, the good part for us is USA have qualified already to the Olympic Games as world champions. Likewise, same thing for Japan as hosts. You know, so what it means is for Nigeria's group with USA, Mozambique, and Serbia, USA has taken one spot. Then the three remaining teams are left to fight for two spots.
Now to table tennis. The East African Table Tennis Championships got on the way in Uganda on Thursday. 8 countries, including Uganda, have confirmed their participation. Others are Kenya, Madagascar, Somalia, Tanzania, Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Djibouti. In one of the matches played on Thursday, Ugandan player Ludia Natunga defeated Eritrea's Sarah Fashie 3-1. One of Uganda's top seeds, Regina Nakabule, says the players believe the title will stay at home.
My target is to be the best player here, so that I go to Tunisia and put out my performance, because I really need to be to represent Uganda in the Olympics.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. Samson mentioned Nigeria's national women's basketball team, the Tigress, being drawn with the USA, Serbia, and Mozambique in a 2020 Olympic qualifying tournament. For more reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the assistant coach of the Tigress, Peter Amedu.
Nigeria group is like every other group, no doubt about that. We find ourselves with the USA, Serbia, and Mozambique, which is also a very tough group when it comes to the Olympic. But we are hoping picking one game or two games will take us to the next level of the Olympic final in Japan. So what we have right now is we are grateful that US in our group will play against the USA team in the World Cup. We know what they are capable of doing, but let us not forget that the Serbia, the host nation, we have not played against them, and they are also a basketball nation as far as basketball in the world is concerned. But and also not to take our eyes off from Mozambique. Most of the Mozambican players who played the Olympic qualifier in Mozambique, Maputo, were all European team. Nevertheless, we are not going to leave any stone unturned. We are hoping that the Nigerian Basketball Federation will start early preparation, whereby we will have all our players on ground at early stage. Because the last week, the final, most of the players flew in different days. That also gives us a nightmare. We never had a good day to train. Well, and the FIBA has made it clear to us that they are going to have 10-day free window for all the players to be on ground. We hope we'll capitalize on the 5 days. Before that is well done, I'm sure Nigeria will pick a ticket to the Olympics 2020.
Coach, talking about preparations, Nigeria is blessed with so many players at home and abroad. Have you reached out to all the players abroad, including some that have not played for Nigeria before, to kind of convince them to come home and play for this Olympic qualifying tournament?
Yeah, for that, we have been on the deck. Most of our players were grateful that they all play in Europe, and this is going to give us an edge most on above a team like Mozambique. And most of the players, Nigerian players who are playing in WNBA and also part of the team in Europe, have also shown interest. As I speak to you right now, I'm even on the internet trying to watch some of the players who have not played for Nigeria who are showing interest. And the head coach, Coach Otis, has given us a mandate that as many as possible that we can get through to most of these players all over the world, we should. So we are hoping at the time that the camp will be open, we are hoping to start the camp in Europe, then move straight to Serbia, or if probably in Serbia, where we can have a 1 week training program before the Olympic qualifier. For that, we are in touch with all the players, and we are hoping that they will be available at the time we needed them.
You are in the same group with world champions, America, and then Serbia too, who are also good in women basketball. Are you scared? Is Team Nigeria scared about these names?
We are not scared. During the World Cup in Spain, we play against the United States of America, who are the best in the world. And I tell you, they are a good team, they are a good country, they are a basketball nation. But don't forget that most of our players also grew up from the U.S. They played in high school, played in college before they went to Europe to play. And for Serbia, you cannot take that from them because they are also a basketball nation as far as basketball is concerned. So the players and the coaches, the technical crew, we are fully ready. All we need now is to put our competition together. As I earlier told you, make sure all our players are in good shape. Make sure that the Nigerian Basketball Federation starts the early preparation so that we can get all the players on ground at the time we needed them. When that is done, we are telling Nigerians that by grace of God, we are going to the Olympic qualifiers to pick a ticket for the Olympic in 2020.
That's Peter Amedu, the assistant coach of Nigeria's national women's basketball team, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. After taking a day off Thursday for the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States, the National Basketball Association resumes its schedule Friday with 26 of the league's 30 teams in action. In Southern California, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers will host my beloved Washington Wizards. LeBron and the Lakers are off to a great start, winning 16 of their first 18 games. My Wizards, meanwhile, have been less than magical with 6 wins and 10 losses. LeBron James achieved another career milestone Wednesday night when the Lakers scored a 114-110 road victory against the New Orleans Pelicans. On his way to scoring 29 points, LeBron made a three-point shot in the fourth quarter to become only the fourth player in NBA history to surpass 33,000 career points. Former Lakers Kobe Bryant and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar also did it, as well as longtime Utah Jazz star Carl the Mailman Malone. Kareem is the NBA's all-time leading scorer with 38,387 career points. Like LeBron and the Lakers, Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks are also off to a great start. The Bucks have 15 wins and 3 losses, their best start since the 1973-1974 season. The Bucks will visit the Cleveland Cavaliers later Friday night in search of their 10th consecutive victory. Giannis is averaging more than 31 points a game for the Bucks. That makes him the NBA's second highest leading scorer, behind only James Harden of the Houston Rockets, who is averaging almost 38 points a game. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
My name is Daniel Igale, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson joins us now with a package of sports news. And Jim says he'll be teeing off with a Spanish golfer.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to start crying.
Jon Rahm of Spain won his second Race to Dubai golf title by winning the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. Rahm began the final round with a 6-shot lead, looking to cruise to the first consecutive event win of his career. But miscues and challengers erased his advantage.
It's golf. At some point, you're bound to have some bad stretch of golf. And unfortunately for me, it happened from 8 till about 15 of the final round instead of earlier in the tournament. But I've never had to grind out after losing a lead like that. So it was meant to be to happen like this. It happened how it happened, and I'm happy about it. You know, it was a lot of effort mental in the last few holes to just, you know, refocus and put everything in perspective and remember I still had a chance to win.
Still, Rahm had a chance to win on the final hole.
Hard to believe that besides the putt, the first 3 shots here on 18 is about as calm as I've been all day, just because I told myself on 18, okay, you got a chance. How many times do you dream of having a birdie the last hole to win a tournament and you can make this a possibility? So hit the best drive of the week, a great 4-iron at the windy intake, and outstanding bunker shot, and I made the putt. Hard to believe.
Rahm finished at 19 under par, while Tommy Fleetwood of England was one shot back and one shot away from having the same winner's story as Rahm.
There's always going to be a little bit of disappointment there, but for the most part, I wasn't in it, got myself back in it, and I was, I'm very proud of the way I played on that back nine, and, John's moment, he's played unbelievable this year, and, fair play, great birdie down the last, and just happy with my week.
For Robert McIntyre of Scotland, a win of another kind.
Halfway through the season, we seen it in sight, and that was one of the goals, and today we finally achieved it.
McIntyre's 6-under par performance gave him Rookie of the Year honours.
I didn't even think about the Rookie of the Year, if I'm being honest. The last 2 days I've just went and played my golf, and finally some good golf turned up this week.
Exhausted, Fleetwood is welcoming a change of schedule.
I'm looking forward to a break first. I'm looking forward to waking up tomorrow with nothing to do. Kids can go to school, Claire can do a bit of work, I can do nothing, so that's going to be really nice. And then, get back at it.
Rahm vaults to number 3 in the world rankings.
I had no idea that would take me to number 3. Wow. Well, that's unbelievable. I mean, hard to believe. It's been a great year, and again, after taking 6 weeks off, I took a little bit of a risk, but I felt like it was needed. So for everybody out there who thinks that you need to train all the time, rest is just as important.
He and legend Seve Ballesteros are the only Spaniards to win the Race to Dubai and be the top-ranked European golfer.
Did I? Is that... Oh, man, I didn't even think about that. I can't say it. It's, Seve's such an idol for all of us, and so are Sergio and Ollie and so many of the great Spanish players. And to think that I'm putting my name there before they do, because Sergio can still do it, obviously. Hard to believe.
The traditional sounds of Formula One racing are slowly giving way to the sounds of Formula E. Electric cars are routinely speeding across tracks around the world, including the latest event in Riyadh, where English driver Alexander Sims led a first and second place run for the BMW I Andretti Motorsport team in the second race of the Formula E doubleheader opening weekend.
That was pretty much a dream race from what I could see anyway. We seemed to execute everything really, really well, made the right decisions at the right times. Energy consumption was good. It just all went smoothly today.
English driver Sam Bird of Envision Virgin Racing took the checkered flag in the first race, but crashed during the second event.
The World Athletics Male Athlete of the Year is Eliud Kipchoge.
Pioneering marathon runner Eliud Kipchoge became the first man to run a sub-2-hour marathon earlier in the year.
It was really special. The day was really cool. I'm happy to be the first human being to run under 2 hours. And I hope I inspired a lot of generation. It was about human family. And I trust that from today onwards, everybody will be positive in life. And in general, I'm really happy for making history.
His time was not officially recognized as a world record because he ran on his own with a rotating group of pacemakers in strictly controlled conditions. The Kenyan's only competitive race this year was at the London Marathon in April, which he won, and he predicts sub-2-hour competitive marathon times will become routine.
I think in the near future, all the athletes and most of them will run under 2 hours. And I trust that in one of the biggest big city marathons, running under 2 hours is possible.
World record-breaking hurdler Dalila Muhammad was named the Female World Athlete of the Year.
It's been an amazing year. I'm so thankful to be here. I'm so thankful for my coach and all my supporters, my family. It's been a tough year, and it just came home excellently.
Muhammad set a new world record time of 52.16 seconds in clinching the 400-meter hurdles gold medal at the World Athletics Championships in Doha, Qatar. She beat her previous record set at the USA Outdoor Track and Field Championships in July and is looking forward to a strong showing at next year's Tokyo Olympics.
I'm excited. I think the pressure comes along with the sport, and this year I got through it, so I think Tokyo, I'll be able to handle it all the same.
That's Olympic champion Dalila Muhammad of the USA, the world record holder in the women's 400 meters hurdles. and the Female Athlete of the Year. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy sports package. And that wraps up the November 29th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat and dumbolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
From humans and animals to insects and microorganisms, Earth is just teeming with life. Even if the environment is incredibly acidic, salty, or toxic, with sub-zero or scorching hot temperatures, researchers have been able to find and identify living creatures. It's difficult to name any place on our planet where you can't find some form of life. But there are spots where even the hardiest of organisms can't survive. French and Spanish researchers have recently released a paper that identified and confirmed there is absolutely no microbial life in the hot, salty, hyperacidic ponds located in the Bilal geothermal field in Ethiopia. The researchers say the daily temperatures there, even in the winter, can exceed 45 degrees Celsius, and the area is filled with a number of hypersaline and hyperacidic pools with pH values that are in the negative range. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
On December 6th, Border Crossings will bring you the greatest songs inspired by the soul genre. You'll hear smash hits from Three Dog Night, Holland Oates, and George Michael. If you like these tracks, you'll love our Soul Inspirations theme.
December 6th on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the International Day for the Disabled Persons is commemorated on December 3rd. Disability on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.